Father, I pause to thank you for what we have already experienced with you and one another during this time of worship and fellowship together. And now as I open your word, I offer myself as a vessel, afresh and anew into your hands at this very moment. Please cleanse me with the washing of the blood of your dear Son. Please anoint me with the power of your sweet Holy Spirit, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, because this prayer I pray and praises for victories I give in Christ's name. Amen. Because I grew up in a Sunday-keeping Christian church, many of my family members and friends have asked through the years, since I became a Sabbath-keeping Christian, why do you now go to church on Saturday? What caused you to make the change? The seminar series that I'm beginning today is a result of my answering that question, why? And as I share the reasons why I and millions of others celebrate our relationship with Jesus in the uniqueness of Sabbath keeping, please know that the sharing is done so in a sincere spirit of being non-judgmental and non-critical of those who may not yet understand our uniqueness. Debates, some of them heavy and heated, have been waged on this subject. I have been impressed by God's sweet spirit to refrain from such a spirit and rather just share with you why I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian. In the seminar, I'm going to share four reasons why I'm a Sabbath-keeping Christian. Reason number one, I'm a Sabbath-keeping Christian because it was kept in the beginning. Reason number two, I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian because it was kept by Jesus. Reason three, I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian because it was kept by the apostles. And reason four, I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian because it was kept by the early church. Today, I'm sharing with you reason number one. I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian because the Sabbath was kept in the beginning. Shortly after I became a Sabbath-keeping Christian, I was talking with a friend one day, and he asked me why. And before I could get very far in sharing with him the reason and explaining, his face became red and he almost screamed, "Dan, you are not a Jew. Don't you know that the Sabbath was given just for the Jews?" And before I could respond, he rapidly walked away and we never spoke on the subject again. Since then, I have discovered that the premise of my friend is one that is held by many Christians today. What I wanted to share with my friend was that the Sabbath was not a Jewish institution. The Sabbath predated. The Sabbath came before Judaism. In Genesis chapter 12, we find the record of the call of Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. And we discover the covenant that God made with Abraham. I want to begin reading in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is what is referred to as the Abrahamic covenant. God is calling Abraham to be the father of the Jews and makes a covenant with him. And scholars who have studied chronology agree that Genesis chapter 12 took place approximately around 1921 BC. Now, why is this important? Very simple. Abraham was the beginning of the Jewish nation. But the Sabbath predated, was instituted before Abraham and the Jewish nation became a reality. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 record in great detail the creation week, and I want to go there with you. I want to pick up reading in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31 and continue reading through Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. Listen. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day, and thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Why is this important? Very simple. Follow me very closely. Thousands of years before the first Jewish person, the Sabbath was already instituted. And the Sabbath was instituted in the beginning. The Sabbath is not an institution that was a part of the covenant God made with Abraham and his offspring. The Sabbath, the Bible says, was instituted in the beginning as God's signature of all his work which he had made. Question. Will you agree with me that Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 took place before Genesis chapter 12? Will you agree with me on that? Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, you are agreeing with me, took place before Genesis 12, right? Now, why is this important? Very simple. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 plainly teach that the Sabbath was instituted before the call of Abraham to become the father of the Jewish people. Well, do I remember when I began to study this area when I was still a Sunday-keeping Christian, and the profound impact that Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 made in my mind and in my heart. Listen closely. And God, underscore, and God did what? And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now, this was very important for me to observe. It was of tremendous importance for me to recognize that the blessing of God was not recorded in regard to the first 4 days of creation. Now, we know that God was pleased because the Bible tells us God saw it, that it was good. But when the Bible records the creation of living creatures that would inhabit the air and the water and the land, the Bible says God blessed them. Now, why is this so important for us to understand? Very simple. God blessed the seventh day, as we read a few moments ago. God blessed the seventh day as a way of reminding his creation of the blessing he had bestowed upon them, upon you, and upon me. You see, God not only gave the gift of companionship and procreation, be fruitful and multiply to his creation, God also gave another special gift. God gave an entire day that was blessed and sanctified. Now, how do I know this? How did I know this then? I know it because Jesus said so. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, this is what we read. And he, speaking of Jesus, and Jesus said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Now I want you to think about it. God made. God instituted. God gave a wonderful gift, the seventh day Sabbath, for man. Let's read Mark chapter 2 and verse 27 again. And Jesus said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now, I may be simplistic. In fact, some people have even accused me of being simple-minded. But that's all right. I may be simplistic, but I just choose to believe the Bible. And the Bible says that the man, Adam, predated, came before the man, Abraham, who started the Jewish nation. Amen. You see, the Sabbath was not made for the Jew. The Sabbath was made for man. Amen. Now, please understand, this is not my opinion. This is what Jesus said. We've already read it twice, haven't we? The Sabbath was made for man. And will you agree with me that Jesus is the ultimate authority? God instituted the Sabbath in the beginning, at the time of creation, for three reasons. God instituted the Sabbath in the beginning as a way of reminding man how blessed we are. God instituted the Sabbath in the beginning as a way of affording man a time for rest, for refreshment, for reflection. And then thirdly, God instituted the Sabbath in the beginning as a way of helping man to stay in touch with the Creator. Jesus voiced this with immense authority in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28. Listen from the gracious lips of our Savior. Therefore, on the basis of Mark 2 and verse 27, he says, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. My brothers and sisters, my friends, God knew in the beginning that keeping the seventh day Sabbath would enable man to stay in touch with ourselves, the human family. God knew in the beginning that keeping the seventh day Sabbath would enable mankind to stay in touch with other aspects of God's creation. And God knew in the beginning that keeping the seventh day Sabbath would also enable us to not only recognize but also revere our Creator as Lord of the Sabbath. Another premise that I heard when some found that I had become a Sabbath-keeping Christian was that the Sabbath was legislation from Moses to Israel. As I began to study God's Word, there were two things that did not fit this premise in what I discovered in God's Word, in the Bible. First of all, I discovered in the Bible that the Sabbath principle that was and is part of the Ten Commandments did not originate with Moses. I want to repeat that. I discovered in the Bible that the Sabbath principle that was and is part of the Ten Commandments did not originate with Moses. The Ten Commandments were not a part of legislation from Moses. The Ten Commandments were a set of rules dictated by God to Moses. And the Ten Commandments were not new. Now, please follow me closely here. To say that the fourth commandment that explains the blessing of the seventh-day Sabbath was a new commandment issued just for Israel would be to place the other nine commandments in the very same category. Just for Israel? Question. Would it be ethical to propose that the other nine commandments had not been in effect since the beginning, since the creation? Now, what am I asking? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to have other gods before the true God? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to make graven images? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to take the name of God in vain? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to dishonor father and mother? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to kill? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to commit adultery? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to steal? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to bear false witness? Was there ever a time since man was created when it was right to covet the belongings of a neighbor? If it stands the test of ethical reasoning that these nine principles that I just read, if it stands the test of ethical reasoning that these nine principles were instituted in the beginning, at the time of creation, and had continued all the way through time up until Exodus chapter 20, does it not also stand the test of ethical reasoning that we must conclude that the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, was also a principle instituted in the beginning and continued until Exodus 20? The question then is not if these were new rules for the Jews. The real question is this: why was it necessary for God to give the Ten Commandments on tables of stone in written form? That is the real question. Well, we don't have to guess, because the Bible gives a clear reason. The Bible records that as God was concluding his communication with Moses on the mountain, God did so by focusing like a magnifying glass on the seventh day Sabbath. I begin reading in Exodus chapter 31 and verse number 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Can you see the picture? Is it vivid in your mind and in your heart? There they are, God and Moses on the mountain. Now I want us to take a look, take note of what the people were doing down in the valley below while God and Moses were communing one with another on the mountain. I continue reading in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be our gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And so I ask again, why was it necessary for God to give the Ten Commandments on tables of stone in written form? Why? Why was it necessary for God to draw particular attention to the seventh day Sabbath? Let's continue reading, picking up with verse number 7. And the Lord said to Moses, and I believe when God said this, there were tears in his heart. And God said to Moses, Go, get thee down. For thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Can you sense the pain that Father God must have been experiencing when he spoke those words to Moses? You see, my brothers and sisters, the people had indeed forgotten the true essence of God. They were violating the very first commandment. They had forgotten the true essence of God. And in so doing, in forgetting the true essence of God, they had lost vision of how blessed and special they were as God's creation. Remember those three points we covered earlier? Why God gave the Sabbath as a reminder? The second thing that did not fit what I discovered in the Bible about the Sabbath not being legislation for Moses was this. The Sabbath principle that was and is part of the Ten Commandments was already a requirement for observance before God dictated the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, I want to repeat that. It's very important. I discovered from God's Word, from the Bible, that the Sabbath principle that was and still is part of the Ten Commandments was already a requirement for observance before God dictated the Ten Commandments in written form to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, please follow me closely, very closely. Shortly after the Exodus from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, the Bible records that the Israelites begin to murmur against Moses and Aaron. They were hungry. And going out of those hunger pains, they blame Moses for their situation. Even going so far as to say that it would have been better for them to have died in the land of Egypt than to have been brought into the wilderness to die of starvation. God heard their cry. And God, being the Father God He is, promised relief. And God provided that relief in the form of bread from heaven and quail. In Exodus chapter 16, there were explicit instructions given in regard to gathering the bread, and a very important aspect had to do with gathering twice as much bread on the sixth day of the week. Now, I want you to listen to the response from the Lord through Moses to the question, why? Why do we need to gather twice as much bread on the sixth day, Moses? Listen very closely to what God said to the people through His servant. Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 23. This is that which the Lord hath said, and underscore in your minds and hearts. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy what?
Sabbath.
The holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, and neither was there worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a what? Today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, and underscore in your minds and hearts. But on the seventh day, which is what?
Sabbath.
Which is a Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep, underscore in your minds and hearts, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the what?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. It is vital that we see and understand this picture. For hundreds of years, during their captivity, the Israelites had been forced to work long hours at the beckoning of the Egyptians, probably 24/7. And it is highly unlikely that they had been allowed to observe the seventh-day Sabbath that had been instituted in the beginning at the time of creation. Because in allowing the Israelites to observe the seventh-day Sabbath, the Egyptians would have been putting their stamp of approval or their sanction on the seventh-day Sabbath. That they were recognizing the God of Israel who had established and instituted this day. And if they had allowed them to gather together for worship on the seventh-day Sabbath, this would have openly violated their religious system and philosophy of how things began and had continued. And for some 400 years, are you listening to me? For some 400 years, the Israelites had not been allowed to practice Sabbath observance. And now, through the miracle of bread from heaven, the Lord was reminding Israel the benefit, as we read in Exodus 16 in verse 23, the benefit of resting on the Sabbath. I mean, for 400 years, they had not known rest. And now, God is reminding them in Exodus 16 of the benefit of resting on the Holy Sabbath, and that is to be done unto the Lord. For 400 years, they had not been allowed to do this. And in Exodus 16, God is also reminding His people that the Sabbath was instituted as a gift to humanity, and that the Israelites were a vital part of the human family. We read in Exodus 16, verse 29, these words, "See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath." Now, question. Will you agree with me that Exodus 16 takes place before Exodus 20? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So you will agree with me that Exodus 16 takes place before Exodus 20, right? Now, what took place in Exodus 20? Okay, the Ten Commandments are given in written form, right? Now, we've already established that they were not new commandments. They had been established and instituted in the beginning at the time of creation. Now, why is this important for us to understand in our minds and in our hearts? Very simple. Exodus 16 and verse 29 plainly states, without question, that the Lord had given the Sabbath before Exodus 20. God also made it very plain in Exodus chapter 16 that the Sabbath was a vital part of His commandments, a vital part of His law system, before the Ten Commandments were dictated to Moses in written form. I want to go back and reread Exodus 16, verses 27, 28, and 29. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Now, can you see that picture? Can you see it? Is that picture vivid in your mind and in your heart? Can you see that picture? And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to underscore, keep my what? My commandments and my what? And my laws. See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. My brothers and sisters, God, not popular opinion, but God, the supreme authority, said before Exodus 20 that His commandments, His laws were already in effect. How much plainer can it be? And a part of God's commandments, a part of God's law system, before Exodus 20, God said, what's a Sabbath? Why am I a Sabbath-keeping Christian? From our session today, I want to share with you three reasons in conclusion. I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian because I discovered from the Bible, not popular opinion, but I discovered from the Bible that the seventh-day Sabbath was kept in the beginning. I discovered from the Bible the truth about what God said of a special day. Why am I a Sabbath-keeping Christian? I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian because I discovered from God's Word that the Jews did not institute the Sabbath. The Sabbath predated Judaism. The Sabbath was instituted at the time of creation, and it was given as a gift, not just for the Jew, it was given for all of mankind. Why am I a Sabbath-keeping Christian? I'm a Sabbath-keeping Christian because I discovered from the Bible, not popular opinion, that the Sabbath was not legislation instituted by Moses. The Sabbath predated. The Sabbath existed before the dictating of the Ten Commandments by God to Moses in written form. There was a famous radio commentator a number of years ago who said something to the effect about the rest of the story. I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian because it was kept by Jesus. Would you bow your hearts together with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for what we have experienced with you during this time of study in your word. And Father, I thank you for each decision that has been, is being made, and will continue to be made to allow Jesus to be the final authority for our life and for our living. May what we've shared here today be built upon through your Holy Spirit, so that when Jesus returns, we can hear you say to us, well done, my good and faithful servants. Because as I pray, and praises for victories I give, in Christ's name, amen.